You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, selective fishing in the Skeena region has a long and turbulent history. Traditional harvesting conducted by First Nations used weirs, traps, and beach seines, dip nets, and in modern times, fish wheels to trap salmon for food and economic purposes. But most of these have largely disappeared over the last decades. At the beginning of the 20th century, the government and fisheries agents seized and destroyed many of these selective methods, only to be replaced by unselective gill nets, which have been the standard practice for many decades now. But selective fishing operations have made a huge comeback in recent years, and now First Nations like Kitsilis, the Niska, Wet'suwet'en, Lac aux Lambs, and Gitnyau have all been diligently refining their selective fishing operations to provide their communities with food fish, and in some cases, when runs are strong enough, economic stability. But it's more than just that. It gives these nations hope for the future and a way to pass on the knowledge from elder fishermen to the youth. Today, I'll speak with Fred McKenzie, who runs the Kitsilis Fish Wheel just outside Terrace, and Gregory Rush, Chief Gwilitz from the Gitnyau, whose fish camp, Lac aux Zoc, is in the heart of Gitnyau Nation. Stay with us.
My name is Sir Margaret Gwilitz. My name is Gregory Rush. We're at the Lac aux Zoc Historic Fish Camp. And this is where we do all our fishing during the summer.
Gregory, maybe just tell me, what is all this about? What is Gitnyau doing here right now? And this is your camp, so maybe explain to me from the young fellow pulling the fish out and kind of the whole process here.
This is a selective fishing at its best. It's a very simple operation. And the main species that we're catching right now is sockeye. And this young man right there, he's fourth generation. There's four generations here right now. That's his first time. So that's how easy it is to pick up this selective fishing. All the fish are put into this live fin. We call it a live fin. It's really a training tool as well. We use that to train the next generation on how to properly handle the sockeye, how to properly club them. If they club them too far back, they leave a big bruising. If they grab them by the tail and they throw, they'll sever the spine. So we teach them how to properly handle. And right now we are doing economic demonstration fishery. And this one is a bit different process from the food fishery. The food fisheries, we can club them, but this one we have to bleed it. So during the food fishery, I asked the guys to come up here, especially the ones that are just learning. We teach them how to bleed, and now they're pretty good at it. So it's a pretty simple operation. And any, if we catch any Chinook, we let it go. Coho, we do the same thing. Not too often do we get steelhead, but we let that go as well.
Gregory, how long has this been here?
I guess they say since time immemorial. Right on top here, there's a site just behind the red cabins. That there is the original fishing village. The Nass River is about 15 minutes walk down that way. They come across the Nass River and they set up camp there. That's where they do. From what I can see is they probably do trapping, you know, moose hunting, get their winter supply. And over here, we just basically started this about 15 years ago. Back then we had dome tents. And the weather was a lot colder then. And we had my nephew, while he was in a dome tent, he heard drums beat. After everybody was already in bed, nobody brought drums up. In the following year, my grandson came up. He stayed in the trailer over here. After everybody went down, he heard drums too. Sometimes we can hear people talking, especially while we're dipping. While I'm down and I hear people talking, I look up, nobody around.
Who do you think it is?
Our ancestor.
Gregory, what strikes me is I notice quite a few of the folks that are working here are young.
Yeah.
What's the importance of, you know, making sure that young people are taking part in this?
Well, it's important for the future generation, I mean, to keep this fishery going long after I'm gone. So what I've been trying to do is try and train somebody to take over after I'm gone. That way we keep it, keep this fishery going. It's very important.
One thing your son said was that a lot of time other nations come to you looking for food fish. Tell me about that. You know, where are some of these fish going? Like, how does that work? And why do you support other nations that are struggling in their own territories?
It's just the right thing to do to help other nations. Right now, there are a lot of fisheries that are closed down. And they contact us to get some fish. I've met families who haven't had sockeye for 5 years and were more than willing to help them. So the way I've been doing it is we have an allocation. The first half of the allocation goes to our people. And if there's any, the next half of the allocation, we invite people to come up. And the way we've been doing it is we've been trading, where we have generators back there, so we trade for gas, groceries. Sometimes people from the coast come up, they bring halibut, seaweed, clams, crabs, just to trade. And it's working. Like the old ways. That's what we're continuing right now.
That was Gregory Rush, Chief Gwillets from the Gitnyau Nation. Coming up next, my conversation with Fred McKenzie, who runs the Kitsilis Fish Wheel.
Hey, my name's Fred McKenzie. Right now we're in the Kitsilis Canyon, which is about a 25-minute boat ride from the city of Terrace. And yeah. And behind me is a selective fishing device called the fish wheel.
Fred, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the fish wheel. How long have you had it in, and what does it do?
Right now we've had the fish wheel in for, I say, about a month and a half, about 2 months in total. And right now what we're using the fish wheel for is we're supplying the community, the band, with Section 35 food fish. Right now we're only targeting sockeye. And all the other species are being live released back into the Skeena. And on average, we could take with water conditions being in our favor, the wheel can catch anywhere from 250 to 500 sockeye a night. Right now, with the water conditions being so low and clear, it has slowed down quite a bit, but we're still meeting the community's requirements for food fish.
Fred, could you explain the whole process? How does this actually work?
Okay, right now the whole Skeena River is coming down this one channel, and it's over years of experimenting in the canyon with fish wheels, we have found certain points that are more productive at a certain time of year for sockeye. So what we do is we position the fish wheel to where we've had success in the past. But since the canyon is so deep, we want to pick a spot to where we know we have a little shelf below the wheel. Like above this, about 20 feet above this, there's a little rock shelf that kind of comes up. So we wanted to put it there. And then when the water conditions got a little cleaner, our catch started to get smaller and smaller. So we started experimenting with different methods of, like I say, coaxing the fish in to the fish wheel.
This is clearly a pretty sophisticated, big operation going on here. Fred, why has Kitsilis decided to move forward with these fish wheels?
We started out using fish wheels before in the early 90s, but back then there was such an abundance of sockeye, we were allowed to do inland commercial fisheries. But as time went on, we wanted to be more, I guess you can say, the higher-ups were becoming more concerned with a lot of the different species on the Skeena being of concern. So we're utilizing our selective fishing history to supply food fish to the community and to let the non-targeted species go. And
Fred, it would seem that selective fishing methods are making a huge comeback in the Skeena. A number of nations are now focusing on this more and more every year. But of course, over the last number of decades, gill nets have been the standard. How are people in the community reacting to the new fish wheels being back in the water?
So far, the community has been 100% behind us. They're very supportive of us catching fish and bringing it up to them. I mean, it's who wouldn't want to get a phone call or a text saying you have 20, 30 sockeye showing up for you? It's a lot less work, and people are getting the food fish they require for the winter.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.